So, long story short, I got in contact with the actual ad agency that represents Nike, and they didn't take outside submissions. So, needless to say, I was disappointed. But at the same time, if you search anything to do, if you search Run Like a Girl right now, Nike, my photo comes up.
What? Wow. Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey, everybody. I'm here with professional photographer, cinematographer, and digital educator, Corey Reese. Corey, say hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm totally pumped, and I'm about to brag on you. So, and I'll give you a chance to go into more detail, but just so people know, Corey is one of the industry's go-to professional photographers in Atlanta, Georgia, helping actors and models book work for TV, movies, fashion, and more. He is amazing, and I have to do a quick shout-out because one of our listeners actually recommended Corey. So thank you, Saeed, for emailing me and telling me how awesome he is. I'm sorry if I butchered your name, by the way. But in the email, what really stood out to me was that you mentioned the word phenomenal, how phenomenal Corey is. So I ended up checking him out online, and I realized right away that you were absolutely right. So thank you again. And just a quick note to our listeners, we do accept nominations for guests on the show. So if anyone listening wants to hear me chat or pick the brains of a photographer that they admire, email me at info@prophotographerjourney.com, and I will be happy to receive that and to reach out to the photographer. So let's get to the good stuff. Now, Corey, I have, as I mentioned, checked you out online, but for the listeners who may not have ever heard of you, which I kind of find hard to believe looking at your work and your website, hard to believe I didn't know about you before, frankly. Give us an overview of yourself and your background and how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
Oh, wow. You know, the funny thing is that my career in photography entertainment started off different from most people. This is not something that I grew up wanting to actually pursue, like as a person in high school doing the photos for the yearbook, that type of thing. I actually played sports and I received a full scholarship, played through college and thought I was going to make it to the NFL. I didn't make it, but I still got a degree in computer information systems. But also me and one of my good friends was like, you know what? If we don't make it to the NFL, you're going to see us on the magazines and the billboards. You know, we thought we had muscles attractive. So the natural progression was to do the whole model thing. And really, I set out to do just that. I've been on billboards in Times Square, print ads for BMW, all kind of stuff. And in 2006, working as an IT professional, system administrator for an airline, I picked up a camera, not really trying to be a photographer. I called myself model with a camera at the time because I didn't consider myself a photographer, just a model that expressed himself with a camera. And by 2008, I was able to leave my corporate job when they said it was a recession to pursue this full time, and haven't looked back since.
Wow. 2008. That's an interesting time. Especially
Absolutely.
For here in the States. I feel like everyone has a story from 2008. That's actually when I started my business. Official
Oh,
paperwork.
Awesome.
Isn't that wild? And that was after Wow. being laid off. So
Oh man, yeah, that's cool.
So let me just rehash this and get this straight, because some of this I didn't know, even though I've looked on your website. So you were a model. So
Correct.
you studied computer science, you said.
Computer information system, yes.
Computer information. Okay. And then you were a model, and you said you were on billboards in Times Square, like your picture?
Right, my picture.
Like your face. That's
right.
Oh, that's very cool. You know, when I read that on your website, I was thinking your photography was
awesome. Oh, no, that's the cool part. That's the cool part. At this point, like, I've had my work as a model, actor, and cinematographer appear on like TV and billboards and stuff. So in each phase, so it's been like an awesome ride.
So then what do you specialize in today? What's your area of expertise?
Mainly I do a lot of portfolio development for talent as well as company branding. Like this past weekend, I had a shoot for an actual designer that wanted to update our website with our spring collection. Mm-hmm. And then also did a shoot for a law firm. So it just kind of depends on, in between that niche of branding to portfolio development.
Okay. And did you start off with that focus in 2008 or did you work your way there?
Well, primarily, I think the entire time I've had mostly models. And then it just kind of continued to progress as people kind of see what you're doing. Because the good thing is I've been blessed to kind of have a good work ethic. And ultimately, the more, the better service that you give people, the better you make them feel. They continue to have your name on in their mouth to refer you. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of continues to refer. And then, of course, you kind of meet people and it just kind of continue to go from there.
So what you're saying is it came naturally to you? There were no struggles at all? It was all rainbows and unicorns?
You know what? The funny thing, I think the biggest thing, because I had a lot of experience and success as an actual talent in front of the camera, it really did come quite easy. I kind of knew what it needed to look like, what I wanted to look like. Even people would be like, oh man, you just started shooting and your stuff looks better than people I know have been shooting for years. Because I guess I just had it. It just came easy to me because I was, you know, I was still involved, but just from the other side. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, if it was anything, ultimately not knowing how to run a business might have been an issue because you know, most people, I don't think, a lot of people take photos, but people don't have an actual photo business.
Right, because there's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Big difference. So,
yeah, and I think a lot of us get into it thinking, or we start off taking photos for fun, and or at least a lot of people. And then we are being told by family members and friends that, oh, you take great photos, you should start a business. And then we're like, yeah, we should, or I should. And then they go into it and they think that they will be taking photos 100% of the time. Which is certainly not the case. And the ratio differs for different people. But for me in my business, it's 80% business administrative stuff and marketing and promotion and 20% actually handling my camera. So is it somewhat like that for you or?
Well, believe it or not, I literally, and I guess we'll kind of get into that a little later, but literally I can turn on something and generate hundreds of leads and pick and choose and have to turn it off before.
Ooh. Oh yeah, we need to get into that. there's a teaser, folks.
Right, because it's just kind of like one of those things, and then also being able to provide my clients with video. The funny thing is, I bought my actual cousin gifted me the 5D Mark II right at the end of 2008, going to 2009, because I knew it shot video before people really knew about that camera and the capabilities of video, and that has really helped me. Be able to offer my clients something more than just a still photo as it relates to kind of commercials and video production, which ultimately allows you to charge more. So,
yeah, that's and that is interesting how that works here in Port Huron. I primarily work with businesses and I started off and, you know, really still I don't promote video or say that I do video, but I get requests and it happens time and time again. And I've done it. I enjoy it. But yeah, it's like the two more and more go hand in hand, especially today.
Absolutely. You have to be doing video to, you know, obviously give yourself a great opportunity to have, you know, just something else in your, I would say, archive that you can actually offer somebody, you know, just more ways to actually service them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. So then I'm curious, let's dive into the nuts and bolts of running a photography business, or at least certain aspects of it. And let's start off with challenges and struggles, because I know the people listening have had challenges and struggles. I've had challenges and struggles. What have you, and I want to mention, by the way, that you, I love the fact that you help educate and teach other photographers. That is awesome that you're able to speak to that. Absolutely. With your students, what have you seen photographers really struggle with the most with their businesses?
Most of the time, you know, because I have two different segments of the photographers that I work with. And the first segment was more for the people that's kind of getting into it. So those people are having more issues with cameras, lighting, settings, and really just trying to understand what does what, you know, that type of thing. And then for the people that's has been doing it for a little bit, they're just trying to create that consistency because ultimately, obviously, you can't run a business without having clients and customers. And you have to have some predictability. Word of mouth is always perfect. But what happens when that new person coming in and that's who they're referring and you're not getting the referrals? What can you do to make sure that you're never on the end of waiting month to month on where your clients are going to come from? You kind of taking it into your own hands.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really, I can remember countless sleepless nights that I've had, even trying to figure out, and this was before I was really putting time into online funnels, but also networking, and just look, when I was just getting started. And, you know, I'm like, all right, I have this client and that's great, but who do I have next, you know, or how am I going to pay the bills next month? It was so frustrating and something that I was never taught in any school that I've attended. It's like School of Hard Knocks. I had to learn myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then how do you help them kind of overcome the challenge of consistency? Like how do you teach them how to get new clients and assignments?
Well, the funniest thing ever, because most people are going to have that problem, but really the issue is deeper than that. Hmm. Believe it or not, it's really comes from what the person believes and what they've been told. So the first thing I help them do is just identify their limiting beliefs, you know, because at the end of the day, guess what? Like if you yourself, if you're thinking, oh, it's too many, everybody is shooting, there's not any clients, or nobody wants to pay, you know, good prices for photography anymore, guess what? That's exactly what you're getting. So I start with mindset, which is kind of making sure they understand that you are really the creator of your world. And if that's what you believe to be true, that's what's going to be true for you. But if you think that your business is flourishing, you're making $5,000-$10,000 a month, and that's what you want to create, that's what you go after. If you have to learn more skills, if you have to get better at what you do, if you have to service the client while the customer to get to that point, that's what you do. But you have to believe bigger sooner. Not the time to believe that you can make $10,000 a month. It's not when you're making $2,000 a month. It's when the phone is not ringing. That's when you have to believe it.
Oh, man, that is so true. Have you heard of The Foundation, by the way?
The Foundation.
It's an online, it's like an online school, and okay. It's amazing. It actually teaches people how to step into being an entrepreneur from the software side. And you don't have to just do software, but they teach you how to identify a problem, create software for it. Anyway, one of the earliest modules in their course, one of the first things they work on with you is taming your limiting beliefs and your mindset limitations, which
absolutely
it's huge. And it's something that was never on my radar until I was in my 20s. And I think for most people, it's something they really don't consider. And, you know, like the fact that you grew up a certain way or in a certain area or people told you certain things, it all of it is ingrained into your mind and your psyche.
Absolutely. Yep. You people have to understand, you have to set goals. And if that's what you want, you have to make up your mind that's what you want and go for it. Don't go for what you think is possible. Go for what you want. And you attract the right people. Like I've manifested this interview right now. And then just another example.
I like it.
I wanted to shoot something for Nike. And I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to go out and put this concept together. So me and a good friend of mine, we came up with this concept, Run Like a Girl. And we went, we shot it. I had a graphic designer, paid money to have him kind of lay it out as if it was a Nike ad. And then that inspired me to kind of do a couple more concepts, which was one was like, I swing like a girl, keep up, which was the tennis. And then for basketball, I dunk like a girl, keep up, which was for basketball.
Wow.
So long story short, I got in contact with the actual ad agency that represents Nike, and they didn't take outside submissions. So needless to say, I was disappointed. But at the same time, if you search anything to do, if you search Run Like a Girl right now, Nike, my photo comes up.
What? Wow.
On top of that, a year later, an ad agency contacted me and they loved those shots and they wanted to do something for another brand. And their budget was $50,000.
Oh man. Oh. That's great. So you're saying that can, if we let go of our limiting beliefs and set goals. And in a minute I'm gonna ask you if there's any kind of super quick exercise you can share with people to initially begin getting over their limiting beliefs. But if we are hyper-focused like that, then something on that level can happen to us, is what you're
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, but that's exciting.
Yeah, you can't turn around. You can't put some stuff in the universe that you want, and then 5 minutes later, you're not in control of your emotions, and you're saying something that's actually, I would say, reversing the same thing. You have those two opposite thoughts that's fighting each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So only put out what you want, only say what you want, only.
Yeah, that's so true. This is so fascinating. You know, years ago, I've mentioned on the show, I was working for a motorcycle magazine. And when I got that gig, that it was a job. I was an employee. I was at the point where, so this was in 2009. So 2008, laid off, started my own business. Interestingly enough, I wasn't focused on photography. I was doing graphic design, illustration, undercharging, setting no limits with clients. It was a nightmare. So I decided I wanted a job, which is what I think a lot of people do when their creative gig becomes unsustainable and too stressful and too much. And I really, really, really wanted to work with a magazine. I thought that'd be so cool. That'd be so great. And I remember being hyper-focused on that, I think because I was so desperate in my current situation. Mm-hmm. And when I got the offer, it was wild because I go into the interview and they were willing to pay an amount, a salary that I had never even fathomed for myself at all. It was, and afterwards, that same day, I was talking to my boyfriend at the time and I mentioned how much they were going to want to pay. And I was like, I never imagined that I would make that much in my life. And he looked at me, or for a job in a year, just that amount of salary. And he looked at me and he goes, well, why not? Why didn't you think that? And I was like, huh.
Right.
That's a good question. It's and that was the beginning of me kind of being able to see my limiting beliefs, which I believe everyone has it, even if they don't realize it. We all have beliefs that kind of hold ourselves back.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, not to put you on the spot, but I kind of am. I'm sorry. But do you have like a super quick, it doesn't even have to be an exercise, but like a tip, like a practical tip to help people take that first step of getting past their limiting beliefs?
I would just say really write down your goals daily. I mean, if you have to do it once a month to just see how you're doing, and then just kind of concentrate on those and give thanks to God. I don't know what people believe, but just kind of give thanks as if it's already happened before you, as soon as you get up in the morning and before you go to sleep, and just kind of close your eyes and imagine yourself, what would things be like if you were already there? If you were already at that point, how would things be different for you? And you just go there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you experience all those emotions, positive emotions related to that.
Absolutely. That's, and then you'll be surprised about the actions that start to, because once you have that going for yourself, the universe starts to create it, because it doesn't know what's real and what's not. Mm-hmm. So it creates exactly what you think about.
Absolutely. And just to share one quick thing I do, I've started a Pinterest board and I've kept it secret. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have so much out there online, but this thing I kept secret, and it has stuff from places I want to travel to the type of photos that I want to take and just inspiration. I mean, exercise photos. It's like my vision board. And so while I write down my goals, this really helps me experience just, you know, where I want to be in 5-10 years.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So earlier, I'm rubbing my hands together if you can't hear it. Earlier, you dropped a little teaser about turning on a faucet of leads and stuff. And so I really want to get to that. Would you be willing to share with us like what you have found to be the most effective techniques for getting new clients, assignments, leads?
Absolutely. And before I kind of jump into my, what I call it is the magic bullet.
Ooh, okay.
is that, you know, what people have to also realize before I get to that is stop thinking more work. It's not about doing more work. It's about doing the right activities that generate the 80%, that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Of your actual income. So with that being said, what I do actually through with every part of my business is I go to Facebook like most people. Mm-hmm. And I get laser targeted about the type of people that I want to attract, that I want to actually work with. And I put together the ad to really talk to that person, because mm-hmm. people don't really understand, like, it's not a issue of people not seeing what you do as it relates to trying to be on every social media site. That's not a problem. People are seeing what you're doing, but you're not communicating in a way that actually inspires action from that person. Mm-hmm. So if you get into the mindset of the type of people that you want to work with, what problems are they going through right now? What problem can you solve from them with the service that you offer? And when you put it out there like that, man, people start to reach out to you. And like I said, I actually had to turn it off because I had over 100 plus submissions in the last 3 months for that particular ad that I actually put together. So basically the process is Facebook ad to an actual capture form where you actually put in strategic questions depending on your actual audience of what you want them to kind of answer. Mm-hmm. I was having them to actually schedule a call after that. Once I actually get them on a call, I kind of walk them through a very, very strategic conversation. And then if I feel like I can actually help them with the services that I offer, I'll actually tell them what that service is. So just imagine if you're spending $10, $15, sometimes it can happen before that, $20, and you're getting the full price of what your session is. If you're shooting weddings and you're spending $30 and you're booking a $2,500, $3,000 actual wedding client,
wow.
What can that do for your business?
That's huge.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Just to kind of show you one of the funnels that I had recently, I may have spent $300 and I'm at about right at $15,000 return.
Stop it. Don't tell me that. Really?
And that was over the course of a month.
Oh my goodness. So you do your own Facebook ads.
Yeah, I do. And trust me, I've wasted some money now. Don't get it twisted. I've wasted plenty of money. But now that I kind of understand that it's really a science to kind of really fine tuning your actual audience and not just boosting the post, because boosting the post, you know, that's just throwing money out there. That's really just throwing a lot of paint on a canvas and thinking you're going to have a masterpiece. Mm. That's just not going to happen. You got to paint that thing. You got to really be strategic about the audiences and the type of interest that the people that you want to attract. What are they doing online? Where do they go? You know, what are their sites? Because it's definitely different. What's the best word to say? Different places. Like, for example, if it's a wedding niche, it's different places, blogs that the wedding people go that might be getting ready to get married. Somebody that's a model, if they're looking for audition, somebody, if it's an actual law firm, all of those type of things, you have to use those interests to be able to kind of target the right people to attract mm-hmm. the people that you want to work with. Because it's not about working with everybody. It's not about shooting 100 shoots a month. It's about shooting the select shoots that you want to shoot and still creating the income and the flexibility that you want to create for yourself.
Wow. Okay. So I'm picturing Facebook Power Editor, and it's, so is it the interest that you're using to really target people? Is that?
Yes, you use the interest. And even before you go to that, you can actually go to your audience insights and make a list of the interest or that you think that particular person, your particular client would be interested in. And then you can actually search the audience insights to just kind of see the demographics. It lets you can see the age. It can tell you if they're renting or buying. It'll tell you if that audience is mostly female, what percentage female, what percentage male. All of that makes a big difference to how you put your ad together. Because if you're targeting an audience that's 90% female, you want to make sure that the ad is appealing to the actual female. If you're targeting audiences that's mostly male, then you can obviously make it so that it appeals to the actual male.
And you know, I was going to ask you, how do you figure out who your target audience is? But you just answered that. So
Absolutely.
Within Audience Insights. Okay, that's huge. Yeah, I hear a lot of people actually crash and burn with Facebook in the beginning, but it's the ones who stick with it and focus and target and refine their ad that really see success.
Yep, and then too, and this is another tip for people as you're actually targeting. I've seen people go in and add multiple different audiences to one audience.
Ooh.
Let's, for example, if I added, obviously Canon is broad, but because we're talking about photography, I'll just kind of list Canon, people that's interested in Photoshop, Nikon, somebody that might like an actual photographer or Creative Live, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you put all those audiences in one, at that point, when you're sending traffic, it could be two of those audiences that absolutely hate what you're doing, mm-hmm. and it could be three of them that love it. But because the people in those two audiences are clicking, I don't want to see this again, I hate it, da, 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 you have a poor relevance score. And now you don't really know if one of those particular audiences could have worked for you or not. So what I found to be helpful is to target those audiences one at a time. Even if you have to do $5 for five different audiences, you show the same ad to five different audiences one at a time. And now you can kind of see, okay, I'm getting people to sign up from this audience, and nobody is signing up from this audience. You can turn that one off and you can increase the budget for the one that's working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it. Have you heard of Amy Porterfield?
Yes, I've heard. I know Amy.
Yeah. You know her, like, personally?
No, I don't know her personally, but I've seen...
I just assume you know everybody.
Yeah, I've seen her stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that was one of the... She said something similar to what you just said about targeting one audience at a time to really measure response. And that's absolutely... That's something I started doing last year, and it absolutely made it makes a difference, for sure.
Absolutely. And then it's another feature in there that you could narrow it down even more. It's some and statements. Ooh. That you can use.
Okay.
So that way you can, let's just say, for example, just if somebody likes golf, right? That's going to be the broad interest. But then if somebody likes Bubba Golf, which is somebody, that's not a real player, but I'm just saying. But you could put, they have to like golf and they have to know who this golf player is. So now you really refine the audience, because now it's not just a wide, broad interest. Now, if they know who this person is, the audience is going to be more targeted, mm-hmm. because they're more involved. You know what I mean? So that's how you got to look at it from your photography as well.
Okay. So how did you learn Facebook ads, by the way? Was it just trial and error, or?
Trial and error, wasted a lot of money, playing around. And of course, I'm always... When I started thinking about how to make $1 million in a month, I started looking for a lot of information.
I like how you imagine.
Absolutely. So, of course, with goals that big, something got to open up, and you have to do a lot of research. And, you know, it just kind of takes time sifting through what works. And then when you finally hit that jackpot, it's a great thing.
That sounds life changing. I mean, it really just, it even gives me a good feeling. Just, you know, the prospect of turning on a faucet or knowing how to generate leads. At will. Qualified Absolutely. Leads, even.
And it doesn't stop there.
Oh, really?
Because the thing is that once Facebook, of course, has pixels. So once you're sending, this is the thing people have to understand. Before you send traffic to your site, you have to make sure your site is set up to convert, meaning that the people are going to take the action that you need them to take. And if they don't take the action that you need them to take, if you have that pixel on your website, you can then create an audience based off of the people that went to your site and completed the action that you wanted them to create. I mean, that you wanted them to complete. Mm-hmm. And you can do a lookalike audience for people that's completed the action. And now you have another 2 million people that you can surf through. That's just like the customer that just bought from you.
Wow. Wow. So when are you putting out your Facebook online course for photographers? I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah.
This is some juicy stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's part of my 6-week training that I was kind of telling you about. I have a 6-week training that's coming out that's going to really walk photographers through how to put this process together from start to finish and really create the faucet that you can create a gold mine for yourself, all the way to being able to retarget the people. Even if they don't take an action on your site, it's still a way to get back to those people, get in front of those people until they take the action. Follow those people around the internet. And that's mm-hmm. like some ninja type stuff.
Oh, so your 6-week training course, it will cover Facebook.
Absolutely.
Techniques. Oh.
It will go into exact details to the actual ads that I'm running. So that's why it's so powerful.
Oh, man. Okay. I mentioned it before in the pre-interview. Make sure you send me a link to include in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, will do.
Awesome. How cool. Okay, so then my next question for you, you know, there seem to be a zillion photographers around every corner. So how do we as photographers stand out amongst the sea of the other photographers out there? Or even the people who have, not trying to knock the iPhones, because I've seen some great photos made from iPhones, but the people who are hobbyists, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we separate ourselves from them?
I think most of what people have to do is really think like this. It's really no competition unless you make it for yourself. And if you understand that, I teach other photographers, I can tell them exactly what I'm doing, because I understand that what's for me is for me. As long as I'm able to provide my clients that I'm working with amazing servers, and I make them feel good and I deliver an awesome product, that's what they're going to remember. That's where my name stays current. If they think about photography, video production, guess who they're going to call? Corey Reese. And being able to be everywhere your people are not. And it doesn't take you having to run out and be at every event. It's just really putting the right marketing in place so that your brand is always working for you. and you get to be somewhere else on the beach.
That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing.
Absolutely. So I would say just kind of really focus on what you bring to the table, honing in your craft. And then also you can invest in a mentor, somebody that is, you know, 3-4 steps ahead of you, that's living the type of life and doing, having the type of success that you want to see, that you see for yourself. Get a mentor. And I know for me, my mentor is making $300,000 a month. And so my aspirations matches up, because I'm like, man, I wanted 100, you know, he's making 300.
Right,
so
right.
It's just really kind of understand that you are your own competition.
And, you know, for the listeners out there, if you have not seriously considered getting a mentor, please, please do so. I know my mentor, he changed the way that I see so much about photography, but also myself. That was the other thing. It was, they'll teach you about running your photography business better, or certain aspects that you want them to focus on, but you will inevitably realize things about yourself and learn about yourself. I mean, my mentor, he was asking me questions where I'm like, huh, I never even considered that. He helped me identify limiting beliefs. He would give me homework assignments to go out and do. I mean, it was great. And it was business changing and also life changing in a way, the way that he poured into me, the way that no one else ever had. So it's a game changer. You know, it's some people are kind of like, well, I don't want to fork out the cash to get a mentor, but think about the long term gains for yourself and your business and your sense of satisfaction with what you do.
Absolutely. And you pretty much hit the nail on the head, because at the end of the day, don't think of it as you having to pay for something. Think about you creating your future, exactly what you wanted to create for yourself sooner. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's about. The things that you that's imparted into you, the wisdom that's imparted to you, will help you not have to take those detours off the road. You can go take a straight path to where you're trying to go. And that's something that you can kind of repeat over and over again. So even if you make a one-time investment, good investment, do what? You get a return on your investment.
Right, exactly.
So that's really what it's about. And I'm serious about mentorship. And I won't even, well, if you wanted me to, I would. How much I paid for a mentor. But in turn, to be able to help me create $100,000 a month business is priceless. If I was just like the Matrix, if you had that one pill that can create the life that you see for yourself right now, how much would you pay for that?
Right. Oh, I love it.
It's priceless.
Good stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, next, let's get into some lessons that you have learned in your career, or that you've observed others learn as well. Could you share with us the most common mistake that you see professional photographers make business-wise, and how they've kind of learned their lesson and overcome that?
I would say, I guess, just from the end of it, as it relates to customers, because to be honest with you, I know the students that I work with, they have their certain things going on, but just overall, I really don't try to clock what other people are doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I've been just kind of so focused on what I'm trying to create and what my students are doing. But at the end of the day, I think their professionalism, and, you know, it's so simple to be able to kind of follow up via email, and people are waiting all day. And I guess people are always surprised about how quick that I actually respond to their request. You know, regardless of what process, I kind of lay out the process, their expectations, mm-hmm. on what to expect from start to finish. And I stick to it. So the person is never in question about where they are in the process and my communication skills. I think a lack of communication can be the death of any business, mm-hmm. and not really servicing and having the customer's best interest in mind. The customers, for most people, is just a way to get paid. But if you take a genuine interest in what it is that you're providing for them, it's service that, because people remember that how they felt. And they connect how they felt to what the images are. Even if obviously I would hope that you're creating great images for them.
Right.
But how they felt gets attached to that. And that's what makes them feel good. How they were treated, how they were serviced. So if I had to tell anybody anything, is to spend time really servicing the customer and making sure that you go over and beyond. Do more than what's expected of you.
Absolutely. And even for this one, I could use myself as an example. As far as it being a common mistake, I've gotten a whole lot better now. But in the beginning, I was lacking in that customer service aspect. I feel I was lacking. And part of the reason was because I was undercharging and I was rushing from job to job. And as soon as I got a new client, you know, the other ones kind of just fell by the wayside because the new ones came with money, you know?
Right, right, right. Because you've already spent the money they paid. Right. So now it's time to take care of the people that's got these fresh deposits coming in.
You know, and it's such a common mistake. And I hear nightmare stories from people just that I run into who are on the client side of that, where one gentleman was sharing a story with me. And I've shared this on the podcast before, but when he heard I was a photographer, for some reason, when people hear I'm a photographer, they want to share their nightmare stories with me of photographers that they've hired. So he had a wedding years ago, and I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, he had had his wedding and they had a professional photographer there. To this day, he still has not received his wedding photos from the photographer. How is that even possible?
That is crazy.
And he didn't tell me who the photographer was, so I have no idea. I think they mentioned something about having hard drive issues or what? Stuff like this happens. And that's an extreme example. But even to a lesser extent, if we let that happen within our own businesses, that does affect how the client feels emotionally. And it affects how they see you as well. Like it can definitely take its toll on your business.
Yes, indeed. Because I guess the thing is, that I always say people can make you rich and people can make you poor based on the service that you render.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, then tell us, what is one thing that you wish you knew before you stepped into photography professionally?
Wow. I would probably say how to run a real business, because like I said, for many years, it was more about just taking photos and getting paid, but not really having a business that worked without me. And when I say business, a lot of the times, and even people now, like photographers, if you don't shoot for an entire month, if your income is affected, then you might have a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So just kind of really putting systems in place so that I can understand that I am putting myself in position to not be a slave to my business, because people go from an 8 to 5 to entrepreneurship and they're working 24/7. It's not really supposed to be that way.
Right, right. Yeah. And it can be frustrating because you feel like you have a million different bosses instead of just one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I'm glad that you brought up the point about having a system in place, because workflow is so important. And it didn't dawn on me until probably a year or two after I started focusing on photography as a full-time gig that I even realized I need to sit down and actually work out every step in that workflow. And so for me, it's when a client contacts me, a potential client, or someone asking about some photography services that I offer. So if they're looking for a headshot, that first point of contact all the way through to the photo delivery, and even the long-term, keeping in touch with them long-term. So newsletter, anniversaries, you know, things like that. And it has made such a difference in my business. Now, it's still a work in progress, because I think that workflow should probably start a little bit earlier. I'm working on that, you know, like when they see my ad on Facebook, for example. So, but yeah, it's definitely worth it to get that in line, because then you also don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Right. And then it's just more about refining, too. I think a lot of the times people want things to be perfect, but, you know, a wise person once said that a good plan executed violently right now is always better than a perfect plan executed next week. So it's really about just getting started.
I like that. Awesome. Then, well, tell us, is there a particular photography resource, a tool, an online course, hint, hint, a book or software that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, outside of the training that I'm actually putting together, I would tell people to really invest in books, you know, just personal development books, and even just audios that they can kind of listen to, because believe it or not, you'll be surprised at how that impacts your photography business, even though it's not directly related to you as a person, which ultimately allows you to be a better person, a better business person, just a better person all the way around.
Definitely. Definitely.
So you have your Jim Rohns, your John C. Maxwell, Earl Nightingales. It's you know, look those people up, you know, and listen to what they're saying. Like, it's plenty of autobiographies of people that have created success for themselves, and they've outlined exactly what they did in the book. Mm-hmm. So go read those books and uncover your treasure.
That's good stuff. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Well, my final question for you, but definitely one of the most important, tell us where we can find you online.
Perfect. You can actually just do a search or go to CoreyReeseFotography.com. And for anybody that may be interested in being able to kind of get some help to kind of put those systems in place that I was talking to you about, because I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made. It's over 6 weeks. And basically, I'll be delivering a training on Mondays. And then also, I know people will have questions because it's online. So I have a Q&A on actual Thursday. So you can actually get in contact with me if you go to CoreyReeseFotography.com/letstalk. So it's LETS-talk. And you can kind of fill out the information on what you're kind of experiencing in your business and set up an actual call after that. And then we can kind of talk about how I can best help you implement this system.
That sounds amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much, Corey, for just chilling and chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I enjoyed it, man. It's really about being able to kind of pour into other people. And if something I said helped somebody, just one person, then my job is a job well done.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.